And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast here to talk about the Rowdies. The Rowdies that are not in the playoffs, so I guess we got to talk about the season that was. That's the plan, but yeah, that's where we're going to be this week and next week, and then we're going to do player reviews for the season and, you know, probably get into some who should stay, who should go kind of stuff, because that seems appropriate right now. But yeah, we will start tonight with the first part of the season. Before we do any of that, though, we usually go through the pleasantries, and I haven't done that. Carlos, how are you doing on this Wednesday evening, the day after Halloween?
James, I'm doing rather well. Coming off a fantastic weekend.
That's
independent,
right.
Independent of it being Hollow weekend and it just being generally a good time to be a college student. During that weekend, had a blast, visited our fraternity's chapter at another university in the area, had a good time with them, came back, had our own event. Just a really good time all around. Highlight of the weekend by far was something I'll get into a little bit later on. But my team from Ecuador, Liga de Quito, beat Fortaleza, a team from Brazil, in the final of La Copa Sudamericana. I've been updating everybody about this on basically every episode since we got into the knockout rounds. And yeah, it's just a really historic win, a win not just for me and my dad's team. My dad was up here and we got to watch together, just really awesome stuff. We got to watch my roommates, but really a win for all of Ecuador and all of Ecuadorian soccer, especially being in a Brazilian team in the final. Obviously a very difficult thing to do, but it's just really, really cool stuff. And I'm glad I got to witness that. I would have given literally anything. I would have given my left leg to be there in person all the way in Uruguay, but it was so, so cool, by the way, to see how many fans traveled from Ecuador all the way down to Punta del Este, Uruguay, which is an over 4-day drive. And there was bus loads of people. And I say bus loads because they were literal buses that made that drive from Quito down to Uruguay
over the course of like a week. Wow, man.
It was just incredible. And it ended up being like 10,000 people down there, whether they took a bus or they drove or flew. It was just awesome, awesome to watch. So do yourself a favor if you haven't by any chance seen that, because I've been retweeting all of it, and look up the highlights of that game. It was just an incredible game, an emotional roller coaster. And it, like, I was crying by the end of the penalty shootout. It was awesome. That's a long-winded way of saying I had a good time this weekend. and generally watched a little bit of the USL playoffs. Admittedly, not too much. I was very obviously distracted. But yeah, there's some good games on the USL side as well. We can talk a little bit about that later on, I'm sure. Mention some of that. But James, how was your weekend? What's going on down there?
Yeah, my weekend was okay. We also did some Halloween-related stuff and went to a bit of a Halloween punk show, you could say. So that was pretty fun. And I was able to go to that show, I should note, because my Saturday night was free. And if anyone else listening knows what that means, it is because – or doesn't know what that means, it is because, yeah, the Rowdies did not make it through the playoffs and give us a home game in this past weekend. So yeah, let's get into it. Like I said, because the season has ended early, we have plenty of time to look back, and we are going to start with that one today. We're going to do the first half of the season up to Neil Collins' departure to go to Barnsley FC in England. So we'll review all the games during this time and end with our thoughts on how it was all going, obviously. And just to give a quick update on those USL playoffs that you mentioned, Carlos, on Friday night, Sacramento Republic beat San Antonio, so they will host Phoenix Rising at home after Phoenix beat Orange County in SoCal. That was a bunch of names, so Sacramento will be hosting Phoenix, and that will be this Saturday night. And the other side of the final could potentially be Louisville City. If it ends up being Phoenix versus Louisville, I think that we are legally allowed to riot down here, but you know, we'll have to see what the laws are afterwards.
Hopefully, how the hell is Louisville even in this position, dog? Louisville is not good. Somehow they just have some sort of like black magic that allows them to like make it to this point in the playoffs every year.
I'm so really frustrated. Don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Detroit might have a chance to actually knock them off, but 4-0, guys, what are we doing here? Come on. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, I will say, for all of us down here. And if anybody from not down here is listening, well, tune into your own podcast and celebrate there. hopefully standing in Louisville City's way is Charleston Battery. They beat Birmingham on Saturday. So hopefully Charleston, who are led in part by Lee Cohen, formerly of the Rowdies, will be able to defeat the Purple Monster from Louisville. And we'll see how it plays out this weekend.
We are all Augustin Williams fans this weekend, James.
Yeah, exactly. Augustin Williams fans. And when Fidel Barajas switches his allegiance to the USA, then we can all support him as well.
Sure.
So before we get into everything related to the Rowdies this season, just want to say please like and subscribe to us on YouTube or any other major podcast platform. And also we are on social media, so please follow at RBLR Sports on places like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, wherever you are, we are too. Carlos, if you could please get us started in the results section, and I will take over at some portion through the middle of this. But yeah, let's get going through the results, and then we will actually break it down a little bit further than just listing them game by game.
Absolutely. Let's just start way back. Let's recall all the way back to that first game, James. It was none other than the reunion with Sebastian Guenzatti, opening game, March 11th, highly anticipated leading up. And I remember that preseason, everybody was talking about this game. It was going to be a big one. We wanted to get off on the right foot. We wanted to start off with a win against our former star striker. That game, if you don't recall, ended 1-1. We went up in the 57th minute, and it wasn't until the stoppage time penalty, which to this day I'm still upset about, because it was definitely not a penalty, but whatever.
It wasn't even in the box.
Yeah. I actually forgot it wasn't even in the box, by the way. In the 11th, tied the game in stoppage time with the penalty from Quinn. It was 1-1, and that's how he started the season. Also, just more generally, a pretty boring game.
Yep.
It was one of those games that you hope you didn't take your friend who's never watched a soccer game before, because they're kind of confused about why people actually like the sport. Moving on, 1 week later, we went away and played our first away game of the year to our eternal stone in our shoe, Orange County SC. We went over there and drew 1-1 before going on to Charleston. And this is at the point where I think people started to panic ever so slightly. You draw your first two games, okay. You go away to Orange County and tie, fine, whatever. Not even a terrible performance. Zach Aravo gets his first goal of the season against Orange County. You're expecting him to be a big contributor this year, right? Spoiler, he gets injured very early on. The point where things start to get a little bit concerning if you're a Rowdies fan is that next away game. We go away to Charleston in the Lee Cohen Derby, Saturday, March 25th, and play what I think might be our worst game of the season, but we can discuss that in you know, more specific terms later on. Never got into this game. It was thoroughly a thrashing, and Fidel Barajas, a literal child who had like algebra the day before, went in there and scored a wonder goal against us. 3 minutes into the game, 3-0 was that game. Next thing you know, we have one more game right after that, the following week at home. It's against Birmingham, a team that, you know, I'm not going to bring back painful memories, but apparently would have our number for the rest of the year. We would go on to lose to them 2-0, two goals by Neco Brett on Saturday, April 1st. It was not an April Fool's joke, fellas. That was a bad game. By that point in the season, James, we've played 4 games. We have not won any of those games. We've lost 2 and tied 2. It wasn't until our first Open Cup game 3 days later against a team called Nona FC. To this day, I don't know where they were, like where they reside or why they exist or, you know, who they are. We did manage to win that game, and that was our first win of the year. It was a 2-0 win. JJ Williams got on the score sheet, and Lucky Nkosana as well. Hopefully that would go on to spark something, right? Yeah, it did. Just a few days later, we'd play that weekend at home, Saturday, April 8th, against the Miami FC, and we'd finally get our first league win, 2-0, and that's where things would eventually start to turn around, James.
Yeah, that was a little bit better, obviously.
Yeah.
We're going to take it back to Nona later on because I was in the stands for that one as someone who was covering it for, you know, the stats side of things. So I have a little bit better memory of that one than I have even of, I guess, the regular ones. But yeah, Nona, like you said,
still random.
I thought that that's where we were going to, turn it around and getting the win against the Miami at home next. That was pretty good. But like you said, there was a little bit more to come after that. So
for sure.
we had the home game following on Wednesday against Charleston. That one, like, you know, we lost that one. I think then the next game we traveled on a Sunday. Yeah. And that one we went to San Diego and lost 1-0. So that was on a Sunday, like I said, and we had to come home for a game the following week on Wednesday. So that was only 4 days afterwards that we had an Open Cup game, and that was against Houston. Like, yeah, I said, on a Wednesday, I covered that one also in person for the stats group. And that one was a much better game, even though it was a 1-0 loss. I think that we had actually played up to Houston as opposed to down to,
absolutely,
I don't know, everybody else prior to that. So yeah, even though it was a loss, it was a lot better than prior ones. And yeah, we'll have a little bit more information on that one as well. We went away after that Wednesday to Saturday. So it was an away game on a Sunday, home on Wednesday, away on Saturday. Yep. And you can't really get better than that, I guess. That one was to Detroit City, and it ended up being a 1-0 win. So that wasn't that bad, you know, of a week overall. It sucks to go out of the Open Cup, but, you know, at least if you're going to do it, it was against an MLS team, and an MLS team that also ticked me off, went on to win the whole thing, beating, yep, Lionel Messi's Inter Miami along the way. So yeah, that was only our second win in the league. However, it did begin quite a streak after that. We would go unbeaten for a further 11 games until Neil Collins left, oddly enough. Yeah, we beat RGV 3-0 away in Texas, and then came home to end May with a home win against Colorado Springs 2-1. RGV is not the best team usually, and they're having potential problems this offseason that we can get into probably later. But Colorado Springs are generally a good team, and they finished within the playoffs this year. So that was a good win, beating them at home. We drew at home versus Sacramento. So far, Sacramento have been obviously very, very good. They are probably going to win the whole thing unless, you know, there's some upset. But it would be an upset to see them lose. So yeah, getting a 1-1 draw against them was actually pretty good. We were home again versus New Mexico and beat them 3-2, and then traveled out west to El Paso, drawing 1-1. That game versus New Mexico United was Sebastian Dalgard's 100th appearance for the Rowdies as well. The last couple of games were in this section, us beating Loudoun United 4-2 away from home, and then going away from home to Las Vegas Lights and winning 2-1. So that's two teams that are pretty much reserve teams for MLS sides. And, yeah, you know, I think that the game against Las Vegas was a lot dicier than either of us would have wanted, Carlos. But at the same time,
that was a fun game, though.
It was a fun game. And, you know, we still got the 3 points. You cannot drop points against clubs like that. And luckily we didn't. So then the news broke sometime around this week that Neil Collins' final game with us was coming up, because he was off to Barnsley FC. Barnsley FC had paid off his contract, whatever amount that was, and they had brought him in over their offseason to take them through the rest of the offseason into the English League One season that is in the third division in England. Now, I will say, that last game was a home win against Oakland Roots. It was very emotional. I think that, Carlos, you and I will probably spend the most time tonight on that one specifically. We celebrated with him afterwards. It was wonderful. You know, it was bittersweet, obviously, but I think that it was a very good time that night. And I will also point out that Barnsley FC right now is in third place last I checked, it might have changed, I suppose, but I did check this now recently. They're in fifth now. Thank you.
Yeah, but it's very close.
Yeah, and that is within the playoff spots to get promoted. And obviously they're not even at the halfway point through their season. So I think that for his first season within this division, I think he's doing extremely well. Barnsley were always going to want to be challenging to get into the second division in England.
Yeah,
that is the English Championship. So, you know, good for him in doing so well. I think that he will continue to learn and probably get this team going even better than they are right now.
Not to turn it into like a Barnsley podcast or anything, but, you know. I love
you. We might have some of those listeners still, hopefully.
Yeah, right. That being said, I just want to mention too that what Neil Collins is doing over there is really, really special, because Barnsley, if you've kept up with them at all since Neil Collins signed with them, they hadn't signed like a single new player since or up until the moment when Neil Collins came in. They were working with like a really random, scrappy lineup. That was kind of the narrative going into this season. So expectations were actually pretty low, despite, you know, having what seems like a pretty exciting young new manager coming in. They're doing really well. So I want to give, like, I know we'll talk about Neil Collins later on as well, but it's really, really cool what he's doing over there at this point in the season. Very early on, like you said, they've only played 15 games, not halfway through the season yet, almost there. But plenty of league play to go, and what they're doing this early on is pretty cool. So he's doing a good job over there, and they clearly made a good hire. And I just wish they could have waited until like after this year. We can wait to discuss that till next podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably fair. All right. Well, our next section will be going into the games in a little bit more depth than we already have, because we were pretty much just listing what the scores were here. But before we do that, I just want to say liking and subscribing is free, and we appreciate when you do that. But if you think you might need some new threads coming up this year, you can support our podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description as per usual. And guess what? There will be a promo code as per usual. That promo code is COYR, and you can take 10% off. So, please do check it out, and please do use the promo code if you would like to save a little bit of money. Now, Carlos, let's get into the actual games and the narrative of it all, if we can call it that. Let's start with the first game of the season. My note here, I just want to say, Forrest Lasso's late foul and Lewis Hilton's injury. Were those indicative of the season to come?
I think in the moment that was kind of the feeling. It was pretty interesting. It's kind of fun to think back, to kind of put myself in those shoes again, seeing what was happening, being like really frustrated, watching this game on ESPN Plus. It was one of those games that we got back on the podcast and said, everybody take a chill pill. Don't worry about it. It's really early on. We have a fantastic roster, and surely nobody else is going to get injured. And surely, we don't have to worry about our coach leaving halfway through the year. I'm sure like that's not going to be a problem, right? So I think in the moment, it definitely didn't feel like, take it back. For some people, I'm sure it could have felt like, oh my gosh, season's over. I think for me, I was thinking, whatever, it's first game against a pretty decent opponent. And plenty of storylines coming into that. I'm sure it must have been kind of weird playing against Sebastian Guazzotti. And again, we're talking about a relatively new roster. Neil Collins was trying to figure out who works, who starts. Ariel Martinez was getting some starts at some point earlier on in the year. Mm-hmm. How do we figure out whether to play JJ Williams or Cal Jennings or both eventually? So I think in the moment for me, it wasn't really anything too chaotic, but evidently, in hindsight, it seemed like it was kind of providing a bit of foreshadowing, right, for what was to come. We saw plenty of Forrest Lasso mistakes throughout the season after this that were relatively costly. And not to say he had like a bad season or anything, but I think the mistakes were a bit more noticeable than usual this year. Obviously, injuries plagued us throughout the year. So I think in hindsight, it's much easier to say that, yeah, this was something that it was a bit of foreshadowing for the rest of the year, James.
Yeah, I would say obviously the injuries were there. One thing that I will point out based on what you were mentioning there, I think that if we look back on recent seasons even, The Rowdies roster is usually never large. Like, it's never a very big roster with a lot of depth. Yeah. I think that we are always kind of a couple of injuries away from a crisis in the last couple of years. And the reason for that likely comes down to the amount of money that the team has to work with. Like, you know, if you have a certain budget, you want to, it seems like the Rowdy staff want to spend most of that budget on quality players, as opposed to building a roster that is maybe closer to 30 players in size. Now yeah. I get that in terms of making a team work, like, and winning games, but making a team work over the course of a season has frequently been a problem for us. And that has been the case, you know, especially I would say in the last couple of years. I understand why the team chooses to go after the quality players and maybe worry about depth later, but unfortunately this does frequently come back to bite us. And we always have, you know, tough stretches of a season where there are a bunch of games that are all piled up for no good reason. just weird scheduling, but those are going to happen. We know that that's going to happen, and almost certainly it's going to present a problem for us. So I don't know exactly how we fix that other than the obvious, which is just more money. Or, you know, the other thing that I could point to is something that actually Louisville has taken advantage of, something that I would say Orange County has taken advantage of, and that is using a lot more youth players. Now, the Rowdies filled out their roster, especially at the beginning of the season, with a couple of youth players. Two of those were Santi Castaneda, who got very, very sparing minutes. I think he only got minutes in the U.S. Open Cup this year. Tate Johnson, though, got quite a few minutes in the first couple months. Now, he went on loan to an MLS Next Pro side, I think, halfway through the year. We did not actually see that noted in, like, any press release or anything. But that was, you know, that was a factor in our ability to fill out our roster at times because Tate Johnson wasn't on the bench. So if the Rowdies have an academy that they can pull players from, maybe that can get us out of a rut. That's what Louisville City has done. And they've blooded a couple of guys that ended up turning into very big prospects. Josh Winder, they sold for probably over $1 million. I don't actually know, but it's just something to think about going forward. Do we do that? Do we do what Orange County has done and go and find like the best players who are in academies that aren't attached to MLS sides? Do we do what Birmingham City has done and find the best players who are attached to MLS sides but want to play professionally right now? Matthew Corcoran is doing pretty damn well for them. I will point that out. But these are all things that I think we could think about as fans. And, you know, however much sway we as fans have over the team, probably not that much naturally, but you know, something to keep in mind and maybe just get some chance going at some point. sign the kids. That would be my very basic level of analysis here. So let's move Side on. Note, yeah, go
do
ahead.
Do we know where Tate Johnson actually is right now?
Is he
playing college
right
ball, or is he still? Remember last we saw he was getting some minutes for like Crown Legacy FC, if I remember right. It was like Charlotte's MLS Next Pro team. After that, because I remember prior to that, he had committed to play college soccer at the University of North Carolina. I'm curious what he's up to now. And just based off of a quick Instagram search, he has Charlotte FC in his Instagram bio, by the way. Maybe he ended up foregoing his college soccer eligibility.
Do we know if he was a senior? I don't, because he's only 17.
I'm pretty sure he was meant to start in the fall. Either way, I know he has Charlotte FC in his Instagram bio right now.
Okay.
So if he's playing professionally, that kind of, I'm not fully aware about the college soccer rules. It's always changing, but I'm pretty sure you end up foregoing your eligibility if you go pro. So who knows? I don't really know. Shout out Tate Johnson. He was great for us while we had him. Sad to have seen him kind of leave like that. Eventually.
Yeah, we need more. We need more like him.
Yeah. It's good to have like young players like that in there. And honestly, I think going forward, I mean, the USL is a very young league, right? So we've always kind of been one of the older teams in the league. I think just by going out for like some of the more veteran players and some of the more professional, high quality players, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the near future we kind of slightly addressed our philosophy. And like you say, sign the kids, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's my philosophy as a fan, not necessarily as someone who has any sway, obviously, but
yeah,
regardless, I would like to see that more in the future.
I have some thoughts about the U.S. soccer and the youth players and stuff for another episode, but it'd be great to kind of get some young talent in here and work the way up so we can get some money like Louisville did, I guess, right?
I would love that. And to be someone's stepping stone along the way is not a bad thing in my eyes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, let's return to that on another podcast, because we do have the rest of these games to get through. Now, the second one, Carlos, I will note my actual physical notes like that I wrote down for this game.
Yeah.
They suggested that it was pretty boring. I wrote for myself that the most exciting moment from that game was the fact that a bunny had gotten onto the field at some point. So no. I'm just going to probably leave it there and say our game against Orange County was, if you want to go back and watch it somehow, I don't know if it's still on the app, then that's on you. But I will not be doing that personally.
My highlight from that game was, oh my God, Zach Erivo can score goals. I'm so excited for him in the midfield and what he can potentially bring to the offensive side of things from the midfield. We can move on.
That was that turned into a womp womp, I guess. yeah. So our next game is actually where we have something that's a bit more soccer related to talk about. Sure. Against Charleston, we were pretty much played off the field. It would have been worse if we didn't have Phil Breno in net. Phil Breno was still starting then because Connor Sparrow started the season injured. And Phil Breno, our backup, continued to be our starter, just like he had at the tail end of last season. So,
yeah,
it was that was a real wake up call. I think that you and I were kind of up for that game, like as fans again. You know, we were excited for the prospect of how this was going to go. As you said, Lee Cohen, it was a little bit of a derby just for us.
Yeah,
there was a lot of excitement. Charleston has been just an absolute pest of a team for us in the past. Last year, I think that they were pretty poor, but prior to that, we have always had run-ins with Charleston. And coming up to this one, it was exciting. We thought that we could probably, you know, start getting our season going, and then they just came and absolutely smacked us. I remember Fidel Barajas was someone that you already mentioned for this one. He did extremely well in this game. I believe the other winger was Tristan Traeger, who was priorly in the Air Force Academy. But yeah, he was coming into his first professional season. And all of a sudden he's looking like, one of the best players in the league. Augie Williams, someone we have also already mentioned this podcast, he did extremely well. It was terrible to see how poorly we did. We never looked in that game. Like, they scored early. I think they scored two very early on, and they scored the third either right before or right after halftime. But it was just, we were out of it the whole time. There was never a moment when I was like, we could get ourselves back in this.
Yeah. If there was a time where I was saying it was okay to start panicking, it was certainly this game. And it also made me realize that we are outpaced. We're outmatched. And this certainly, like, at this point in the season, I was feeling that we wouldn't be terrible. Spoiler alert, we finished second this season. I did not have that expectation at all after we lost to Charleston Battery.
Yeah.
3-0. It wasn't there. It was incredible stuff. I think it's really interesting to take a look back at these games and see how the season developed and genuinely how impressive it was that we finished where we did.
Yeah, absolutely. That is important for us all to remember as we go through this, because the next game was not a good one either. After that loss to Charleston, the Rowdies then went to Birmingham Legion in Alabama and lost 2-0. We created some chances. I noted in my notes for that one, but we looked extremely vulnerable defensively. Which obviously led to our two goals conceded. And that was, I think both of those were in transition. But Carlos, I remember you and I talked about both of the Birmingham games this season when we previewed the playoff game against them. And I noted that we had lost in the central midfield, especially against Birmingham. And so, I mean, after these two games against Charleston and Birmingham, we are looking like we don't have anything sorted out almost, you know. We're not good defensively. There were multiple mistakes, like Forrest Lasso's, as much as Forrest Lasso did not give away a penalty against Sebastian Guenzotti in the first game, it was still a mistake. And it was still a problem that it occurred that way. That had something like that had occurred multiple other times in the games afterwards. And in addition to that, we were second in all of the tactical, all of the tactical play through at least those couple of games through the Birmingham game. I just want to go into the next game against Open Cup side Nona and then, you know, get back to Birmingham. The first half of the game against Nona, I mean, you know, it's an amateur team. We were always going to beat them, but we didn't even look in it then. You know, it was the second half that we scored, but it just all of that time up until probably the halftime against Nona FC. We were, I don't know. There was a funk over the team and I'm not entirely sure what all of that was from. You know, maybe there were rumors that there were, cause I don't remember when all of the rumors started that Neil Collins was going to Walsall. Maybe
that was
there
pretty
were,
early on.
Yeah, maybe there was stuff going on along the way that we just didn't know about. You know, I'm not entirely sure, but there was certainly a funk over the team for a lot of those games.
Yeah, I will say again, not to mention Tate Johnson again. I will say that I he's a great player, and I really really love what he brought to the team whenever he did get minutes. But for me, it was a little bit concerning at one point. And slight correction to what you mentioned earlier, that game against Birmingham was the home game first. We ended up playing Birmingham away. That was right after Neil left. It was two games after Neil left. But in that kind of like early funk that you mentioned, starting Tate Johnson on the wing against a really good Birmingham Legion team was a point in the season where I was like, are we just trying to like spice things up, are we just trying something new, maybe inject some fight in the players, saying, hey, by the way, there's a kid taking your spot in the starting lineup. Again, I love Tate Johnson, he's a great player. He's still really really young, and we're talking about 18 at this point in the season. I think he was still 17, so not that there's like not starting quality 17 year olds out there in the USL, because clearly there are, and we've gotten scored on multiple of them, I think. But Tate Johnson was just, when I saw him in that lineup that game in particular, I remember being like, okay, like I was okay with it, just because it's like, I guess we're trying to like spark something different going on there, but
maybe he's just light a fire under, you know, under the backside of whoever it was that had previously been starting there, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. It seemed like we were just trying to get something going. Evidently against Birmingham it did not work. And like you said, it actually took a little bit of time against Nona as well. And to be clear, against Birmingham, like you said, and against Charleston as well, we were totally outworked in the midfield, outplayed, outmatched and everything. And at that point in the season, we still had like a full central midfield unit. Like we had basically everybody. I mean, Lewis Hilton was still playing and he had minutes with Ekra. Doherty wasn't, like Areva was still active and playing. So it was a little bit concerning because it felt like we had everybody and we weren't creating anything. So I guess it took the injuries to like spark the fire, but I don't really know what was going on there.
Yeah. Maybe we'll never know how it started that way, but to get back into the US Open Cup game versus Nona, that was at home. It was dicey, like I said, in the first half, but in the second half, we were good enough. We were good enough. And that was perfectly fine. Lucky was involved in both of those goals, assisting and scoring one. So, he was still proving his worth there. And, I just want to highlight that little bit of it because Lucky's going to be a legend at this club. I hope long after he's left, because he's awesome. Anyway, with that one, the second game then against, the Miami following the one against Nona FC, I believe that was all in a week as well. A Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday setup, but the Miami had absolutely nothing in that game. They really didn't create a lot. I do remember that we won that one and it was relatively comfortable, even though, we had all the prior games where we were just toil and trouble, to use a Halloween ism. But yeah, it was good to see, I guess, that we could beat a team that had nothing going for them. yeah, the next game after that was, again, the Battery. This one was us at home. And I guess we played this one better, Carlos, in that we didn't give up two goals in the first 10 minutes. There wasn't a lot of chance creation, but, you know, we had scored because one of their players passed it back to their goalkeeper in a way that allowed Cal Jennings to run on it, to it, and steal it from them. It was essentially them creating a goal for us, but they tied it up. And then they scored a goal, I think, in like one of the last kicks of the game. So it was literally better than the prior performance against Charleston, but it was obviously very bad overall.
That one hurt. That one was really frustrating because you were already frustrated by the draw.
Yeah.
And you wanted more. Charleston's a good team, but again, like, you felt like you had the team to go on and make something special. But by the way, this was a really weird lineup at this point in the year. We had Ariel Martinez, Felix Schroeder, and Cal Jennings starting in this game. Evidently, if you kept up with the team, that kind of like three attacker thing would kind of phase out and turn into Cal Jennings and JJ Williams. But it shows you that we are, April 12th was that game, right? So we're a full month into the season and we were still really playing around with things. Even after just we got tinkering. That win against Miami. Yeah. Even after we got that win against Miami, which Schroeder scored in, by the way, you might figure at this point in the year, he could be involved and he could make a couple things happen. Could be a key player this year. He wasn't. ultimately. But you could just see, if you look at the lineups going back through like FootMob or whatever app you use, that Neil Collins, for as great a manager as he was, didn't really seem to know what he wanted to do with this team yet. Like, nothing was really clicking. So it's pretty interesting looking back to see that kind of develop, because clearly against Charleston at home, it worked better, but it wasn't, the product wasn't really there yet. And it was incredibly, incredibly devastating to see Augustin Williams score that 90 plus goal on us in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really difficult to see. Going from one difficult game to another, we had a whole week off for some reason, and then three games in 7 days. I really don't understand the scheduling here, but that's, again, like I said, that's something that is, we know that it's going to happen. We know that stuff like that's going to happen. Ryan Spalding had come in on loan, and this was actually his debut game. Unfortunately, it was spoiled because we lost 1-0 against San Diego, who had a 16-year-old in net. A 16-year-old named Duran Furry, who is now with the national under-17 team, going to the World Cup for the under-17. So congratulations to him. But also, this was weak. This was just really, really weak. We had a game coming up against We had a game coming up against Houston Dynamo in the Open Cup. So honestly, what I'm going to say looking back is maybe their mind was already on Wednesday because, you know, it's a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday setup. But God, that game was terrible to watch.
Yeah, again, at this point in the year, Schroeder started this game just to show you kind of where things were at and how we ended up. But the bright side was that Spalding had a relatively decent performance. And we mentioned that when we talked about this game. Oh, like, this kid Spalding, who's he? What's his deal? Oh, he had a pretty good game, huh? Yeah, like, whatever. We still lost, whatever. Nobody cared. on the bright side, that ended up being the beginning of what I'm colloquially referring to as Ryan Spalding's Linsanity run with the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
I like that. I like that. That makes a lot of sense, actually. So the next game, like I said, was against Houston Dynamo. This one we lost because they're an MLS side. They're just going to have more quality, and they were ultimately able to hold us out. But honestly, this was probably the best game we had played all year so far. I think that we held Houston off for quite a while. In fact, they scored in the first half, but it was late in the first half, and it was the only goal they scored that game. I don't know how many chances we created offhand, but I just do remember that we had a much better performance in this one. And I believe, Carlos, was Tate Johnson also starting in this game? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Tate Johnson also started there, which was, again, I think, interesting. There was certainly, like, we were healthy enough at this point in the year to play someone like Deion Harris out there, or I believe Armin was playable. He was around. Spalding. I mean, Spalding had been around at this point for at least a week. So certainly interesting on Neil Collins' part to play Tate Johnson, but I don't necessarily recall him having a bad game or anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think that he played poorly or anything like that, but it was just, you know, it was kind of just a situation of, well, I guess this is where we are at the moment. And, you know, good for him getting that experience at least. Yeah, so the next one was the Saturday following. It was against Detroit City. Yeah. We were actually creating a lot more in this one. So I think that this followed the Houston game where we were getting a little bit more of a morale boost afterwards.
Yeah.
And we were creating a lot. And unfortunately, though, we couldn't turn that into the back of the net. That would luckily not be something that continued throughout the rest of the season. We did not have a problem scoring all year, but we were at that moment, and it was just lucky for us that Detroit City conceded a penalty, because Charlie Dennis slotted that away. But otherwise, we didn't have the quality to, you know, put it in the net ourselves.
Yeah, that was the what ultimately become like the I'm trying to find the word for that. That's when we turned the corner, let's say. That Houston game, I think, showed that we have it in us to be the team we know we can be. And I think that Detroit game, while we played better, still wasn't there, but it continued with that very notable improvement against a team that wasn't great, but still a good team, and a team that's hard to play away in Detroit. So I was happy with that game, I remember, and ended up being the beginning of something special.
Yeah, I would say so. The next one was J.J. Williams and Charlie Dennis scored in the first half to help us beat Phoenix at home. Those were the two goals. Carlos, I don't have a ton of memory of this one. What was your feeling after following the Detroit City game about, you know, going and winning at home? Always, it's good to beat Phoenix. I will say that. I do love beating Phoenix, but yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you too much about what happened in this game. What I do remember was talking about it slightly. And remembering, sharing similar thoughts with about like the goal scoring and kind of how we were lacking that a bit leading up right at this point in the season. So it was really, really nice to kind of get that off of, I don't know, get that concern addressed slightly.
Yeah.
Scoring two goals in open play, obviously not necessarily not penalties or anything. So it was nice to have J.J. Williams get one of the goals that would kind of start his nice streak of, you know, goal scoring eventually. Charlie Dennis was really coming into form and becoming around this point in the year, he was becoming the player that he became by the end of the year. I would argue MVP quality season, MVP caliber season. So I was really, really happy with all that. Spalding would get his first assist in this game. I miss him so much. So I do remember that also, seeing Spalding get one of the assists there. It was a lovely, lovely cross. That's the thing I do remember hearing or remember saying to you. We started talking about this connection between Spalding and J.J. Williams, and it would continue to happen in coming games. The Spalding-Williams connection,
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that, like the lovely cross from Spalding? J.J. Williams was becoming a force in the box, getting up in the air and heading that ball in. Wow, like this is going to be something really special if they keep it up. God, like whether it was like players getting recalled from loan or injuries, something always got in the way of a really nice trend here. So that was unfortunate when Spalding left. But again, I don't think there's a better way to describe it than a Lynn Sanity run for Spalding. Man, he was special in the short amount of time here.
Yes, and I will back up your previous assertion that the Rowdies had kind of turned a corner there, because the next game we go and we beat Detroit City. We were up 4-1 before halftime, and it ended up finishing 5-1. That was obviously a much better performance. It showed that we had really actually like gotten over whatever demons were kind of haunting us at the beginning of the year. Maybe it was rumors. Maybe it was honestly just a bunch of new players playing together who hadn't really you know, worked with each other previously. I don't know. Again, that's something that we will probably not have an answer for unless I run into Neil Collins in walking the streets of England someday, like on some trip that I don't have planned. But yeah, we will just have to, you know, I guess put all of this behind us in the end, naturally. Yeah. But still,
by the way, Spalding got another assist to JJ Williams in this game. It was actually the first goal of the game, 3 minutes in.
There we go.
Building on a trend of scoring early, and it was looking really, really good at this point.
I mean, yeah, Spalding really contributed a lot, and we're going to get to that when we do our player reviews. But yeah, you highlighting that connection there is really important because they were really putting on a show for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the next game, we at RBLR, we hosted a watch party for this one. It was against RGV, that is Rio Grande Valley Toros. And we were at Berry House for the first time hosting. And it was a great party. It was one of the, you know, it was one of the big ones because it was the first one naturally. We had a lot of people show up. And thank you, everyone mm-hmm. who did. Thank you to everyone who showed up, to all of them, obviously. But, you know, you have to get off the ground somewhere. And this was a really good one to do that. The Rowdy scored a penalty in the second half before getting another two late goals to win 3-0. So, you know, my memory of the game is hazy, not because I was, you know, overly drunk or anything, but more so just I was talking to everybody that was there. It was super cool to have a bunch of people show up for this party that we were ostensibly hosting. It was obviously about the Rowdies, but, you know, it was just super cool. And I remember that one being like one of the better scores for a watch party that we had, because we'll get into worse scores later. But that was a fun one.
That was a really great game. I think it showed that we had the potential again to keep the high scoring up, that we weren't going to entirely rely on penalties, but we could get them if we had to. And again, you'll never guess who got another assist in another game back to back. It was Ryan Spalding. God, he's so cool.
And that will take us into our home game against the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. As you have already mentioned multiple times, Ryan Spalding by now was cooking for the Rowdies. And one of the goals, one that was not or did not have any contribution from Ryan Spalding, I should say, because it came straight from Charlie Dennis. He scored an Olympico against the Switchbacks in this one. Yeah. So, that was just out of nowhere. I really wish somehow that we could get a bunch more of those. Obviously, they are flukes, and the idea that we could, you know, count on them is silly. But, that one was wild. And, that's when, honestly, you score an Olympico when you're just doing well and you kind of aren't even thinking about whether or not, you know, this is going to go poorly. This is when you're already riding high on confidence and you just go and swing it in. And then you're like, oh, and I scored that. Yeah. You have to not be worrying about something to put in something and to score a goal like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you'll never guess who the man of the match was in this game, according to FotMob.
Yes.
It was Ryan Spalding. But yeah, officially that goal by Charlie Dennis was kind of frustrating because it would go down as an own goal, the stat sheets and everything on Herrera's part.
We're going to get it to Charlie.
Yeah, but I remember in this game, I actually remember us having this discussion and saying we're giving an RBLR stat book. It's going to Charlie Dennis.
Yes, exactly. he still finished in double digits, even without that goal counting officially. So, I will make sure that he gets it on our personal notes. Absolutely. Now, the next one, two sendings off and a Lawrence Weick returning back on loan would help us draw versus Sacramento Republic. So, we had obviously a lot of loanees come in this season. One of them was Lawrence Weick, I believe, for exactly two games. One of them was against Sacramento Republic, but this is when we were also in the throes of a good injury crisis. I mean, I think that lasted most of the summer, honestly, but Lawrence Weick came back to help us out on the defensive portion. Ryan Spalding was obviously helping us out on the attacking side. The other one was that, two players were sent off. I believe, Carlos, one for each team. Is that correct?
No, they're actually, I don't know if you recall this. This was a crazy game. This was a game where JJ Williams got sent off. It was a second yellow after he scored what we thought could have been a go-ahead goal. He got frustrated and got sent off on a second yellow. And then by the end of the game,
that, yeah,
by the end of the game, it was Connor Antley, who to this day,
that's somehow, right.
Yeah, somehow I don't really know, but to this day, I'm still confused about how Connor Antley got two yellow cards in the same play. He wasn't near the ball, but I think he said something to the referee and the referee wasn't having it. And yeah, Connor Antley got sent off with two yellow cards on a direct red, two yellow cards in the 92nd minute for the Rowdies to go down two men in stoppage time. Yeah, this was a really weird game, James.
I do remember that.
We certainly had a chance to win. This was a game that kind of lit a fire in us because I think it was really frustrating that we didn't pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were a team that sort of outplayed Sacramento in this one. But it was certainly one game that demonstrated that this win streak was certainly valid. It wasn't like a random fluke that we're putting a couple wins together. Playing Sacramento at the time and currently still is the best team in the league, I think, showed that we're a good team. And we definitely could have won, but it was just a weird game. And if you're bored, I would go look back at those highlights because that was a fun one to watch. Looking back in the moment, very frustrating, very annoying by the ref.
And
looking back,
weird.
Pretty chaotic and pretty fun watch.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you brought that up because I'd actually forgotten that, that part of it and just being totally confused about what we had just witnessed. It wouldn't be the last time, unfortunately, that that had happened that season. But to move to the next game, then the Rowdies played New Mexico to a 3-2 win. Somehow I wrote draw. Don't know how you 3-2 draw somebody, but this game was notable for its returnees. Jake Araman had returned from injury. Deion Harris had returned from injury. Jan Ekra had returned from injury. And Jake LaCava had returned on loan from Inter Miami. Now, I think that we were all excited about this at the time. We're going to get into it a little bit more probably next week about what the Jake LaCava loan meant, but we will obviously talk about it a lot more when we do the individual players. Either way, at the time, we were super excited that Jake LaCava was returning and all of these other guys seemed to have come back to full health. Now, Jan Ekra was the only one of those who continued to play with us throughout the rest of the season. Jake Araman and Deion Harris would be spot time, unfortunately, but it was, we got, you know, what seemed like a hard fought win and all of these guys were back. It was just like, you know, we were flying high at this point.
And Ryan Spalding scored two goals this game. The Spalding sanity was insane. And this was peak Spalding sanity, James. Like, I was going bonkers. I said, this kid's the truth. Never leave. Like, I was in love with this player. And it wouldn't be very long until we lost him, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's what we're hinting at every game, but it's coming up sooner and sooner as we go through these. So despite all of these players missing that I'm going to list out, the Rowdies went away to El Paso and managed a draw. It sounds like, you know, that's not so great, but actually just wait till I go through this list of all of these players who are missing. Lewis Hilton, Zach Haravo, Deion Harris, Felix Schroeder, Luckiam Kosana, Ariel Martinez, and Lawrence Weick were missing for the game against El Paso Locomotive. Now, El Paso at that time also was top of the West. I believe they were top of the league. I can't say for sure if that was true, but two draws against first place teams in 2 weeks, the other one being against Sacramento. And again, this is in the middle of a pretty good injury crisis. Yeah. I think yet again, this is one where we were like, this is where, if I'm not mistaken, Carlos, it was either the game against Sacramento or the game against El Paso. One of those, I tried to hint at it without being too, you know, maybe I could jinx it, but like, it looked to me like we actually did have the quality this year. And once we got all the players back, we were going to put it all together. I think that one of those was the game that I said, I think this is the season that we're going to go and do it all. Now, obviously, you know, you and I are here discussing it while playoffs are still ongoing. But I think that at that point, my level of belief was among the highest that it's probably ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, that was valid. That was a really tough stretch. And I very vividly remember being concerned about that stretch. Even that Colorado Springs game seems pretty difficult. They were a pretty decent team. So it was Colorado and then Sacramento. going, playing at home to New Mexico United, which was a decent team as well, a very hard fought win. And then playing El Paso. Yeah. And then playing El Paso away was a tough, tough four games. Yeah. So I was pretty happy generally with how that all went. Even with all the injury stuff and everything. I think those injuries were, there's never a good time for those injuries to happen, but they did happen at a time. Eventually, we're after that El Paso game. The schedule softened up for a couple of weeks. Still ended up being very difficult games, and we'll talk about that in just a second, I'm sure. But yeah, I fully agree. I was kind of on that train where this might be the year.
Yeah. The next two games, the Rowdies went and beat Loudoun United in Las Vegas. Lights in good enough fashion, I wrote. Carlos, what are your notes for this one? Because, you know, the next one is the one that I really want to get to, but I don't want to skip over anything important.
Yeah, I just remember those games being really chaotic, the Loudoun game and the Las Vegas game. There were games that, again, we had plenty of injuries, so there's plenty of reason to be kind of concerned going into that game. But yeah, that Loudoun game was tough. They went up early. We equalized. They went up again. And then Jennings just kind of turned it on. By this point, Spalding had been recalled. So we were down Spalding, unfortunately. That kind of got added into the injury mix, and we were just kind of in no man's land. But yeah, those were chaotic games, and that Las Vegas game even more so. Right, we score the opening goal, Las Vegas equalizes it, and then we're just kind of back and forth. Nothing's really going for us until JJ Williams banger in the 86th minute, which was beautiful, beautiful goal. So I remember those games were tough, and they were tougher than they should have been, but I was certainly happy with pulling out 6 points across those two games with all the injuries and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, those injuries again certainly came at a decent point in the season where the kind of schedule softened up there for those 2 weeks.
Yep. I mean, as you said, never a good time, but it was probably the best time it could have been. So fair enough. The last one that we're going to cover tonight was the last game for Neil Collins. I've obviously already hinted at this, and it was a 3-0 win against Oakland Roots. I think that the Rowdies players wanted to send him off in fashion, and they came out absolutely guns blazing in this one. It was 3-0, and it wasn't, it could have been like more than that. I don't think that Oakland Roots was ever in this one. It was not close. So we sent him off, and then after the game, the journalists were invited onto the field because they did a press conference on the field as opposed to under the stadium like they usually do. It was it was emotional. I think that Neil got a little teary-eyed even in the interview. But we waited a very long time to do the interview because he was waving at fans on his way over there. And then after the interview, he also went back and he stood, you know, behind the net at the advertising boards. So he's like, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 feet away from all the supporters there. And you could see how much it meant to him. He was, you know, obviously still tearing up again. All of his family was out there, his wife and children. It was really, really cool. And I mean, you know, in that moment, I kept shaking Neil Collins' hand. I probably grabbed his hand too much but I was just like, Neil, no, don't go. He was a very nice guy, even in these emotional moments. And I think that, it means more for him than it does even for the fans that are losing him, because like effectively all of the fans go out there to see the players, to see the coaches, you know, it's a different dynamic. So, for him to leave everyone that he had built this relationship up with for the past 5, 6, 7 years. I don't remember how long he was here as a player beforehand, but yeah, it was just very nice. It was very nice. Obviously it was sad that he was leaving, but it was the best way that we could possibly send him off.
Yeah. That game was special. It felt like a movie storybook ending. It was really nice. It was certainly a weird dynamic having that storybook ending halfway through the year.
Exactly.
And for a variety of reasons, and we'll get to kind of the effect of that in coming episode next week. Spoiler alert. But in a vacuum, that game was just as perfect as it could have been. Kyle Jennings got a hat trick. Offense is clicking. It seems like everything's going our way. And Neil Collins gets sent off in a beautiful note. So I think it's a fun way to end this episode. At least the matches we'll talk about with this game, because it really was such a lovely way to kind of end his tenure here. But again, the dynamic of kind of ending that halfway through the year was very, very strange after that game. In the moment, beautiful. It was lovely. And you couldn't really have asked for a better ending there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And I think that, like you said, it is a great way to end this portion of the podcast, because we did end with Neil Collins on a high note. I think that things turned, you know, one way and another after he left, but it's also a perfect, you know, it happens to be a perfect middle point for going through the season. So now
it was, if I'm not mistaken, was it not exactly halfway through the year?
I can't say for certain.
It's very close. It was very
close. But it was close. Yeah. He had, you know, we had started so poorly and he turned it around. So yeah, it was, in one way, it was the best time that he could leave. And obviously in another, it was not, but if you have to leave in the middle of the season, at least this is the way that it went. So, we will leave it there tonight on that and go into our extra time segment before we get everybody out of here. First of all, congrats to the U.S. Women's National Team for beating Colombia 3-0 after a pretty disappointing 0-0 draw. They turned it around in the second game, also in the second half of that second game. But I'm really hoping that the U.S. Women's National Team starts to turn a bit of a corner when it comes to the players they select. And it looked like maybe they are working towards that. Yeah. Also, this Saturday upcoming, Charleston will host Lou City at 7:30 in South Carolina. As we've already said, go Charleston, right? We got to support Lee Cohen and obviously don't want Louisville City to win. And then also on Saturday night, Sacramento will host Phoenix at 10 p.m. Again, we got to support Sacramento because I don't like Phoenix at all. And with that, Carlos, I will turn it over to you for the last segment of this episode that you want to, I'm assuming, cover your own team.
Absolutely. Side note, by the way, I just fact checked myself. Up until that Oakland game, that was 18 league games. After that, we played 17 games. So it was almost halfway through. 17 games, including that playoff game against Birmingham. So almost exactly halfway, just a little bit over if you're doing the math there. But yeah, I just want to shout out my team in Ecuador one more time. Liga Deportiva Universitaria de Quito. Please do yourself a favor and watch the highlights of that game. That was just an incredible, incredible game. And it's a huge, huge tournament. If you're not aware with like the dynamics of South American soccer, the Sudamericana tournament is essentially the Europa League. Is the comparison of South America. Just below the Libertadores, which would be the Champions League of South America. It really is a huge tournament, and it really is special for a team that's not from Argentina or Brazil to win that tournament, either of those tournaments. It's especially special that it be an Ecuadorian team. Obviously, I'm a big supporter of all the Ecuadorian teams, but especially my team, Liga de Quito. And it kind of solidified Ecuador as the right now the third best league in South America, which is really, really cool because at this point, 5 titles in the last 15 years have been for Ecuadorian clubs. So it really is pretty cool because outside of Brazil and Argentina, those 5 for Ecuador are the most of any other country.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty, pretty cool stuff for Ecuador. And I think it's just generally a nice break when an Argentinian and a Brazilian team doesn't win that, either of those tournaments. Obviously, Boca Juniors versus Fluminense this weekend is going to be a fantastic game as well. Obviously, Boca's from Argentina, Fluminense is from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. So it's going to be a great game as well. You know, obviously, an Argentinian or Brazilian team will win that. So it is really nice to have an Ecuadorian team show face every once in a while. And I guess more often now than we've seen in the past. So it's pretty cool stuff. And again, do yourself a favor, look up those highlights. The Copa Sudamericana final was just an incredible, incredible game. They scored early in the second half. We scored a banger to equalize, and it would be just a roller coaster in penalties. I genuinely haven't seen like a penalty shootout be that up and down for both teams. It was incredible. So I just wanted to mention that one more time. Put Boca Juniors versus Fluminense on everybody's radar for this weekend because that's going to be a fantastic game as well. There's tens of thousands of Boca Juniors fans traveling to Brazil for that game because South America has transitioned to, like Europe, a one-game final. In the past, they used to do a home leg and away leg for the final. That home leg, or this one-game final, happened to be in Brazil anyway. So Fluminense is playing at home. Despite that, Boca Juniors is going to have a huge, huge presence there. And it's just going to be an awesome, awesome atmosphere. I mean, Boca always has like some of the best atmospheres in the world.
Yeah.
Whether they're playing at home or in Brazil. So it's going to be really, really cool stuff. And if you're a fan of soccer, you should do yourself a favor and watch that game, because on the pitch, it's going to be honestly violent. That's kind of how Boca Juniors has played this tournament. And off the pitch, it might also be violent, to be honest. It's going to be a crazy, crazy scene. So do yourself a favor and tune into that. And shout out to my boys back in Ecuador.
Yeah, I have been actually, after the World Cup, I started watching the Argentinian League because I realized that I had access to it. And then in doing that, I realized I had access to the Brazilian League. So I started watching that. And afterwards, I was like, you know, starting to pay just a lot more attention because it was across my radar. And, you know, going through seeing the Copa Libertadores, the Copa Sudamericana that you have already talked about, I was like, well, I want to watch all of those games too. And I found where I can watch those. So I started to watch them, and I caught a little bit of the final this past weekend. Unfortunately, I had to leave the house to, you know, go somewhere else. So I didn't get to see all of it, but yeah, that's awesome. And I really have enjoyed watching a lot of the Argentinian and Brazilian soccer that I've seen. I'm definitely going to try and watch the Libertadores final this weekend. And yeah, like you said, I hope everyone can join us in doing that.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
All right. Well, everyone, that is where we will leave it. We had a couple of tangents in this one, but I think it was worth it because it was interesting to get through all of the games, but it can also be a little bit mind numbing to try and remember it all at one time. So yeah. It's perfectly fair to, you know, go here and there as we need to. Either way, please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere that you are. We are too. Again, we are at RBLR Sports, and I am mostly on Twitter. If you want to get at me, I am at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At Carlos TPA10 on Twitter. I'm still tweeting celebration tweets and retweeting stuff from this past weekend from the Leo's win. But yeah, Rowdy's offseason's coming around. So honestly, like, it's going to be a little bit of Rowdy's content just as news comes out. And hopefully news does start coming out soon. We're talking about re-signings eventually and, you know, coaching news. Who knows?
Waiting for that.
Yeah. But Georgetown basketball starting soon too. So that's going to be a big thing on my timeline. I'm always tweeting about the world of sports. So drop a follow and have a conversation.
There we go. And please, of course, like and subscribe to our podcast. We would ask that you do that and get the full experience on YouTube if you'd like. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. And even though it is the off season, we still have to say, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.